We're going to have a great Sabbath morning. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Acts, the second chapter. This is the first century church. And you would assume that if God is going to finish this work, that he would work similarly to the way he worked to begin with. Peter preached a powerful sermon. In fact, probably this old fisherman had his greatest moment in history in Acts chapter 2. He preached the greatest sermon he could have preached, and yet he was simply quoting the book of Joel, but he made it relevant for his generation. He said, this is it. The Holy Spirit is going to fall. How would you like to have been there when that happened? All these different languages were being spoken back and forth, 16 different tongues, and you could hear somebody preaching in your own language. Wouldn't that be interesting? Let me begin by telling you this. It's kind of humorous, but it's true. H.M.S. Richards Sr. tells the story of Voice of Prophecy. They had called a lady, one of their Bible contacts, and the phone rang. She picked it up. She said, hello. And on the other end, they asked, is this Mrs. So-and-so? Yes. Well, you can't be talking to me. Well, why that? Well, you don't understand. You can't be talking to me. And the Voice of Prophecy said, well, we just picked your name up. We know you're interested in our program here on the radio, so we just wanted to follow up. You don't understand. My phone has been shut off. How are you going to talk to me? It's been off for a month. By the way, it didn't work after that. God spoke in these different languages, and I believe the greatest phenomena the church is going to face lies just before us. When God pours again a greater Pentecost than ever occurred in the first century AD. When the latter rain falls, I'm telling you, we will see people who will have dreams and visions, and they will run to their neighbors with this good news. You will not be able to stop them. Let's pick this up in Acts 2. I had planned a sermon I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to preach to you from Acts 2. Therefore, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He made the message personal. Your sins are laid on the Lamb of God. And do you know, when the church senses that what I do, how I live my life, the sins I commit in my life have been laid on the Lamb of God, there is a repentance that permeates the body of Christ. And you realize then that sin is not the transgression of the law. Well, the Bible says that it is far deeper than that. It is the breaking of a heart. And I wonder how many times the heart of Jesus has been broken because I wanted to live for myself. You put this Jesus to death. You hung him on a cross. You say, well, I wasn't there. No, but every sin that will ever be committed and has ever been committed was laid on the Lamb of God. The spotless, holy Lamb of God, who never knew sin. While created in the likeness of man, he was not in his sameness. He never knew sin. He was, as Sister White says, that holy thing. When you get around Jesus, you know what you're going to feel? Oh, so unworthy, 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 because the angels sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the saints will fall before this King. Oh, my Lord, oh, my God, you took my sins and laid them on you. Unless you see sin as personal, it's just an act. It's a sin if you do it. It's a falter if I do it. Right? You did it. It's a sin. Have you seen the people smoking in the church? No, I don't go around with a magnifying glass. I don't see if we have this or that available. Have you heard of so-and-so doing this or that? No, no. I'm too busy with Rocky Gale to worry about that. All I want to do is have them find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We have a few folk that are visiting Winston Church, you know, that smoke. The board said the other night, oh, we want them to come. We don't care what they smell like. We don't care if they smell like they've been to hell as long as they're not going there. Come on and say amen. Jesus wants your heart. If he has your heart, he'll change your body. You agree with that? Now listen to the rest of this. It's beautiful. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. Oh my, have you ever been to a place where you worship Jesus Christ and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit overshadowed your life in such a remarkable way that you were cut to the heart? And you said, oh God, I am sorry. Unless you feel like you've never had repentance. There are people their whole life who have been good people but have never repented. Sometimes I think you need to repent for being a good person. Why? Because you don't think you need anything. Who are you to tell me, Pastor Gail? I'm better than you are. I don't need anything. I have never eaten cheese my whole life. You couldn't push a hamburger between my teeth? Well, the bulldozer. And I'm not putting down our health message. We have a great health message. It's not the message. It's the attitude. Are you with me? Oh, my brothers and sisters, we need to be cut to the heart. You know what happens when you cut to the heart? You're not preoccupied with Bill or Bobby or Sue and what they're doing. You're more interested in you and what you are doing because your sins put this Lamb of God on the tree. I remember my brother and I were talking one day at camp meeting, and a young girl came up that my brother knew. She was probably 16, and she said, I just wanted to visit with you guys. You look so animated in your conversation. I said, we were talking about Jesus. Well, you would expect that at a camp meeting, would you not? And she came up and she said, well, tell me some more. And we talked some more and some more. This was in South Lancaster, and we talked some more. I wasn't even in ministry then. We talked some more, only to find out this woman wasn't even an Adventist. She was one of the people that came in from the village to visit camp meeting, and we were talking to her about Jesus Christ. What if we had been talking about something else? I look back at the things of my life, and there are some things that I'm sorry I didn't repent for. I'm repentful I didn't repent. You know what happens when you do not repent? After a while, you become hardened. You're not sorry anymore. You know why? You almost feel as though what you're doing is acceptable to God. When in reality, because you haven't studied enough, you don't realize you're hurting Jesus. And then you open the Word of God and your eyes fall upon the text. And the Lord says, that's you, just as Nathan said to David. You are the one. And David said, oh, me, all my life. And David could write Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgression is blotted out, whose iniquity is purged and taken away. Oh, you know, it's when you see it personal. What shall we do? And then here's what Peter said. Number one, repent. I really do not believe, and I can speak from my own experience, that we really understand how serious repenting is. Repenting is a process. Let me give you an analogy here. You first meet the Lord, and you have this new love, and God gives you indicators in your life that things are not right, and you say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, and you're growing, and all of a sudden you say, no, Lord, and the Lord brings it again, no, Lord, and he brings it again, no, Lord, and he takes you around, and he forgets about it for a while because you cannot handle it. And you thought it was over with. You thought he wouldn't bother you again about that thing, and he brings you right back to it again. And if you find it difficult to repent and say you're sorry, he may make it public. And that's embarrassing. Cut to the heart. I think I told you when I first came here a year ago, I sat in the front row at camp meeting at Southern New England on the edge. So I could leave quick. I was only 17, 18 years old. And this old gentleman walked up to the pulpit here, and he set the Bible down, and he didn't even look at it because he couldn't read it. His eyes were gone, and he would be like this. And he started to preach from the Bible, and I said to my father, Dad, how does he know what he's even saying? He said, this man knows the Bible. And he would begin to read Scripture, and I said, I'm going to check up on him. And I'd read, and he quoted it exactly. And he talked about Jesus coming and the finger of God. And oh my, did I want to avoid the finger of God. I was toward the left and I said, well, if I get up and leave, everybody's going to look. And Rocky, you know how you are when embarrassed. You don't want to do that.
maybe I could just get up and walk down the aisle. No, they're going to look at you there too. So I sat there, and HMS Richard Sr. walked down. He's getting closer to me. The finger of God. And the Holy Spirit talked to me. And I felt like heaven was underneath that tent. And I said to my dad, do you think Jesus is coming today? No, Rocky, I don't think he's coming today, but he's coming soon. I was a young man. Do you know why I believe I'm so full of the Holy Spirit today? Because I've never lost the urgency of the coming of Jesus. I never have. I haven't. And I've been able to take this personal application of what God says to me, to my heart. Am I perfect? No. Don't ask Christine. But I'm not perfect. But I do want to glorify Christ. I really do. And then the Bible says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, we all know what that means. Death, burial, and resurrection. Now, listen to the next part. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Well, you know what happens? We miss that. And a lot of us had water baptism, but we never received the Holy Spirit. Do you know that it's God's intention that when an individual is baptized and they come out of the water, that they are ordained to ministry within the body of Christ, and the ordination of that is the falling of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, what did the Holy Spirit do? He descended and landed upon him like a dove. And let me tell you something, that's a special gift that God gave Christ. And when you're baptized, you're a son or a daughter of God, and the Holy Spirit is given to you so that you can do ministry in the body of Christ. You are ordained for ministry. So we have a lot of people have been baptized and long since forgot what it was like. If you can keep living for yourself, you've never been baptized. I don't care about your water baptism. By the way, turn to Acts chapter 19. I want you to see this. Don't you love to hear the pages? Oh man, I love it. Verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. By the way, Apollos was a tremendous preacher. Oh my, he was gifted. Christostom, in the middle centuries, was a great preacher called the Golden Tongue. And we have preachers today that when they open their mouths, you want to hear it. It's like honey that drops off their tongue. The problem is you better be careful what you hear. But listen to this. And Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And what is the next word in your Bible? There is a whole church that's based on this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? They call it spirit baptism. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you have been baptized, but did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And what did they say? Well, listen to the rest of it. We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And they had water baptism. Then Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. And if you have not committed your life completely to Jesus Christ, then your baptism was water baptism. Now listen to this. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Then when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with the gift of tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. What's really interesting is that Paul said that we laid hands on them. It's not a Pentecostal thing. When I was ordained, they had me up front and everybody came and stood toward the front, and the pastor, I remember, ordaining me. I remember when I ordained elders in the church, we would bring people. I remember when I first came to South Salem, the conference president came and had me up front, did he not? You remember that? And the whole church came and laid hands on me and prayed for me. Are you with me? So what we're going to do this morning after our baptism, I'm going to invite you all to come forward and touch one another and pray that those who have recommitted their life to Christ receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit to finish this work. Are you with me? Because we're not going to finish it unless we allow God to do it. What I've told you this morning is biblical. By the way, you search the Bible. Do whatever you want to do. If you have had simply a water baptism, you have never been baptized. Because when you're baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you've rejected the Holy Spirit, and you have not walked in the light, 1 John 1:7, as he is the light, you need to be rebaptized. recommit your life to Christ. I had a man say to me one day, I've got to tell you this story. I think I've told you a couple of times. He said, communion service is a rebaptism. I said, I agree with you. But if you've never had the Holy Spirit in your life, or you've never followed the Holy Spirit, or you've so walked away from God, you don't even know what it's like to be a Christian. You need to recommit your life. He said, I agree. Well, let me tell you what I was doing. I was at Camp Laurel Weld, and I told you this. I shared it before. Boy, back then I was young. But I was a youth pastor and had all these young people, and pastors spent a whole week there. About Thursday of the week, this young girl, about 15, came up and asked me to rebaptize her Friday night in Lake Weld. And if you've never been to Maine, you've never seen heaven. Oh, it's beautiful. The rocky coast of Maine. Yeah, Mainers. So I said, yes. The next day, somebody else came, and Friday afternoon, three more came. And I had staff members, 15, 16-year-old girls, boys that had been baptized, but had never understood the gospel or Jesus Christ. So I walked out in the water. I can see it like yesterday. I'm walking on the water of Lake Weld, and it's cold. And I look back toward the shore, and here are all these young people. And here's the camp director, Gladys Trepanya, on the shore with her husband. And so I baptized them, and then I did the unthinkable. I said, is there somebody else out there who would like to be rebaptized? And they came, and they came, and they came. 38 in all. We were an hour baptizing. And when it was all done, I walked back toward the shore, and an Adventist minister friend of mine was saying, it's not right. It's not right what you're doing. We have to take their name before the board. It's not right. And he was going back and forth and back and forth. I said, I just followed the dictates of the Holy Spirit today. And the Union Youth Director, Elder Martinez, was there. And I said, what do you think, Brother Martinez? He said, I've never in my life, Rocky, seen anything like this. Never. This is the most spontaneous movement of God I have seen. And do you know what? A mother came on Sunday to pick their children up, and she said, I want to talk to you. And I said, ma'am, I do not apologize. I thought she was really going to nail me to the wall for baptizing her son. She said, oh, no, you don't understand. My boy came running up to me. Here he is, 14 years old. I didn't know he'd been smoking pot, and he was on drugs. And he said, Mama, he said, I met Jesus. He said, I was rebaptized. And he said, my whole life has changed. He said, Mama, you didn't know that, did you? She said, no, I didn't know that. He said, well, I'm a new person now, Mom. I met the Lord. Those kids went home, and for 2 years I heard about the wonderful things those kids were doing. Kids. One young boy said to me after I baptized him, he said, by the way, Pastor, I've never been baptized. I said, well, tell your pastor you have now. But I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit fell upon those kids. That was not just a water baptism. We're going to have a baptism now. And I'd like to invite the candidates who are going to be baptized or rebaptized, just kind of join me up front. And I want to share just a couple of things. If you kind of come up with me and just sit right here. You don't have to stand. You can just sit right here. We have a few more than we expected. I want you to listen. I've gone through this with Mariah and Tierra. What I want to do is I want to read the baptismal vow. And then when we're all done, all you have to do is say yes. And I want you to think about this. If you're seated here today, you may never have another opportunity to do this. Because most churches do not do this kind of thing. But I'm not most pastors. And I'm so close to retirement, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm not leaving tomorrow, or I'm not leaving next year, or next week, or whatever. But I don't worry anymore. I want to follow the word of the Lord. Would you say amen? And you know something? The same guy standing here is the same young guy that was standing in Lake Weld. Didn't worry then either. I'm going to follow Jesus. I believe there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a unity of three co-eternal persons. I accept the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary as the atoning sacrifice for my sins. And I believe that through faith in His shed blood, I am saved from sin and from its penalty. I renounce the world and its sinful ways, and I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven my sins and given me a new heart. I accept by faith the righteousness of Christ, my intercessor in the heavenly sanctuary, and I accept the promise of His transforming grace and power to live a loving, Christ-centered life in my home and before the world.
I believe that the Bible is God's inspired word and the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian. And I covenant to spend time regularly in prayer and Bible study. Here's what I would say to you. A lady in Winston said it best at prayer meeting. Even if you take one text a day and you make it yours, put it in the 3x5 card when you're at school. You're a junior this year, Sierra. Put it right in your side pocket or wherever and just take it out and memorize it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. And you say it and make it yours and say, God, your word is my lamp. And begin to live by the word. Say amen to that. And make the word part of your life. I accept the Ten Commandments as a transcript of the character of God. How people can believe the law has been done away with. A revelation of his will. It is my purpose by the power of the indwelling Christ. You can't do it without Jesus. To keep his law, including the fourth commandment, which requires the observance of the seventh day of the week as a Sabbath of the Lord, a memorial of creation. From Friday night sunset to Saturday night sunset, I don't shop. I don't do this. I don't do that. I spend time getting to know the King, walking and talking with Jesus. Are you with me? Listen, I look forward to the soon coming of Jesus, the blessed hope, when this mortal shall put on immortality. Oh, sweet Lord, as I prepare to meet the Lord, I will witness to his loving salvation by my life, my word, and I will help others prepare for his glorious appearing. I accept the biblical teaching of spiritual gifts, and I believe the gift of prophecy is one of the identifying marks of God's remnant church. Don't discount Mrs. White unless you've read her. And I mean read her. I suggest you read Desire of Ages completely through with your Bible. I did it. I read all five of the conflict series with my Bible, every text. And let me tell you, to write 100,000 pages, you have to be a prolific writer. She is the most prolific writer in the world. I believe in church organization. It's my purpose to support the church by my tithes and my offerings. That means if I make $100, $10 is not mine. Just is not mine. It's not I'm giving God 10, it's God giving me 90. I believe that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and I will honor it. And I'm going to kind of condense this. I will not use things harmful to my body. Whether that's tobacco, whatever it is, I will not use things that are harmful for my body. I know and understand the fundamental Bible principles as taught by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I purpose by the grace of God to fulfill this by ordering my life in harmony with these principles. Why? Why? Because you're part of a great body. And the hand doesn't say to the body, I hate you. I turned TV on one day and there's a little ad on there about your food fighting back with a chicken wing slapping the guy in the face. You don't beat up on each other, especially the body of Christ, because you're part of it. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't do that anyway. Number 12, I accept the New Testament teaching of baptism by immersion, desire to be baptized as a public expression of faith in Christ and forgiveness of my sins. And I'm going to tell you something. I have talked to GC people before about this, and they should add, and God will give me the gift of his Holy Spirit for work within the body of Christ, because that's biblical. And last, I accept and believe the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church of Bible prophecy. And that God calls people from every nation, kindred, tongue of people into this great movement. What do you say? Good news? There is nothing like it. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying to yourself, well, I haven't ordered my life in harmony with these. In fact, I can't even remember when I was baptized and it really didn't mean all that much. You need to reconsider your calling to God. I'm serious. Because if you have 2 hours to live and you're not right with God, then you've got 2 hours wasted. Either way, you're going to see Christ. So while we're changing, if you decide to join us, we have robes back there. Now, I'm not asking the whole church to be rebaptized, although there are churches that would not hurt them. But I'm asking you to consider and think about this. And if you're visiting today, I don't know your life. I don't know when you met Jesus. Maybe you never met Christ, and the Holy Spirit has never felt powerful in your life. You've never said, God, what you want, I want. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we change for our baptism, we thank you so much for your wonderful love. Jesus, you're our example. As you were baptized in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit fell upon you for your ministry. You were anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Luke chapter 4, 16 to 18. And you have promised to anoint your children. Your children belong to you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to be obedient children.
We thank you for that gift, dear God. And we pray that you'll be with those who are going to be baptized and rebaptized today. For we ask these favors in Jesus' name. And the whole church said. And I want to give you an appeal. How many of you would like to welcome these folk into membership subject to their baptism? All but two. They're already in membership. And Mariah and Sierra are going to join. And so we're going to again to go back.
Mariah is giving her life to Christ. And, you know, she can trace this giving of her life to the Lord back to many experiences in this church. And this is a big step to you. And that thrills me to baptize you today. And I told her we're going to follow this up. She and I and her sister are going to do spiritual gifts together. And we're going to have a lot of fun. Right? All right, it's a privilege today to baptize you and dedicate you to the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mama's taking pictures. Sierra, thank you so much for committing your life to Christ. I know the Lord is so grateful for your following him and the Holy Spirit. Was asking, is the water warm or cold?
You gonna do me now?
Yeah, we'll do you now.
Oh!
Oh! Come on. Where's my head deacon? I need the head deacon up here.
Are you okay?
That's a girl. You really went through a lot to get baptized today, girl.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm fine.
Jackie, I want to rededicate you to the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. There you go. Amen. You okay?
Praise the Lord. I do it.
Amen. Amen. See that? It's beautiful.
Whoopee.
He's coming back. There you go. Now that's a grateful baptism. I think about the early Millerites. When Miller preached, there were a group of people who wanted to be baptized, and it was in the winter time, and the pond nearby was frozen. They took an axe and chopped a hole in the ice, and they were baptized. We don't have that problem today. Please pray for Jackie that she's okay. This bottom, I didn't realize these steps are this slippery.
There you go.
Watch this coming down. Water's my step. There you go. Joy, you and I have talked about the peace of Christ in your life. And I talked about rebaptism, and you've desired this. And, so I want to, it's a privilege today to rebaptize you and dedicate you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Holy Spirit so fills your life that anybody you come in contact with will be just affected by your infectious spirit. Amen. I want to dedicate you today in baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. That was good. How many of you can remember your first baptism? What was it like to you? A new experience with Christ? I didn't hear you. Better. Your second one was better. Jamie kind of started this. He came to me in my office and said he wanted to be rebaptized and dedicated to the Lord. And this is his opportunity to tell the Lord, you know, I'm going to follow you all the way. So it's a privilege today, Jamie, to rededicate you to Christ as a friend and a pastor. And I know that God's going to use you. I know that. And that's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit wraps his arms of love around you, and you feel like, you know, I'm a new person today. Amen. I want to dedicate you today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit.
This way.
Jim has a desire to recommit his life to Christ. He was just telling me in May that he's going to Costa Rica with the Share Him program. And it's my prayer that God will bless him. And Jim, you're going to be a light in this old dark world. Amen?
Amen.
That's our desire, to be a light in this dark world. I want to dedicate you today in baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. Let me pray over these candidates, and then we're going to come down and have a special prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful love.
for Moriah and Sierra, for all these candidates who have dedicated their life to you again. May this be the beginning of a whole new life, we pray, dear God. And may this baptismal, Lord, be used frequently this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank you for coming today to this beautiful, beautiful occasion. And we're going to ask our candidates to come on in. I remember baptizing my daughter in April in a Vermont stream. That was not a good idea. That was cold. I mean, really cold. And my daughter's teeth were just chattering. She's just a young girl. She said, "Daddy, it's cold." How are you going to invite people to come into the water? Come on in. The water's fine. And they're out here and their teeth are just chattering. Almost losing your teeth, you know. So we're just waiting for Joy. And then I want to invite you to be a part of this special prayer and pray for them. That God uses them. You know, I mentioned Jim is going to Costa Rica. And Jamie really kind of kicked off this rebaptism when he came to see me. And these girls, I'm just delighted. I'm delighted you gave your life to follow the Lord and you joined God's church. And I just pray that you'll help me get a youth group going here. Won't that be neat? Yes, that's neat. I was going to say, we always wait for women. Well, that's not probably truth. Here we go. Here's Jackie. Are you okay, Jackie?
Yeah.
You are.
Big bruise, but she's there.
Hallelujah.
I got a big bruise. What's wrong? You don't trust me?
No, I trust you. I just want you to fall. Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, that's beautiful. I want to just read this, and then I want you to do something special with me as a church so that you understand what I'm talking about. There's nothing magical here. What we are doing is asking God to anoint these people for service. That means that your commitment to Christ does not wane, and that you, when Sabbath morning comes, you know where you should be, with the church of God, worshiping with his people. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And here's our ministry. Heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty those who are captive, give sight to the blind, show them the truth, set at liberty those who are oppressed. You know, there are people so oppressed today. Set those people at liberty. How do you do that? By bringing Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what that means in the Greek? It's spelled A-P-H-E-S-I-S, the year of forgiveness. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So I'd like to invite you all to come. I'd like the elders first to come. And we're just going to ask you to stand with me, kind of come together. I'd like the whole church to join me. Stand up, and we're going to dedicate them to God today. We're going to pray for them, as Paul said in Acts 19, we laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came and anointed them. It's not a Pentecostal thing, it's a biblical thing. And I do not understand why we don't make baptism so special that people's lives are transformed forever, because it should be. So we want to lay a hand on you. If you can't reach the baptismal candidates and the rebaptismal candidates, then touch the person in front of you. Come on up. We want to invite all of you who are here just to join us. And we want to pray that God will especially bless those people today who have made a dedication. I'll tell you why. Because the enemy immediately comes in. Too busy for church, and then you become a statistic. You come in one door and out the other. I don't want this to happen to you. I want God to bless you today, so that you can be a light. Especially you young people, you're going to be a light. You're going to be a light. I'm not your age anymore. I'd like to be, but I'm not, you know. So we're going to pray for you, for the anointing power of God in your life, that the Holy Spirit will fall on you and fall on this church in such a powerful way that Sutherland Church will be known as a bright light in this community. What do you say? So let's press forward. Father God, we want to dedicate to you these precious people. We pray for them, dear Lord, that you will anoint them. We pray for James and Jamie. We pray for Jackie, Joy, Mariah, and Sierra. We pray right now that your Holy Spirit will be poured from heaven, just as it fell upon Jesus Christ for his mission. May we emulate our Savior. May we be those who follow him. 1 John 2:6 says we ought to walk as he walked. So may we be your hands and your arms and your eyes and your ears, and may we be the ones, dear God, who will reach out. Bless and anoint these people who have dedicated their life to you today. I pray this just as Paul prayed for the anointing of those believers at Ephesus. I pray the same prayer, dear God. May your Holy Spirit fall upon them and anoint them for service. I pray in Jesus' name, and the whole church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Beautiful. God bless you. Jackie, God bless you. God bless you. Whoops, I'm sorry. Did I step on you? I'm sorry. God bless you for coming today. I pray the Lord ministers to you as you go home and that he's with you.